Hello, this is the conference call operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks third quarter fiscal 2017 results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with an executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the third quarter fiscal 2017 results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's third quarter fiscal 2017 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at vecima.com under the investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited condensed interim consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 9 months ended March 31st, 2017, which is available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility, and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance, as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 26, 2016, a copy of which will be available at www.cedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in this earnings call are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. Fiscal 2017 is shaping up to be a transition period, not just for Vecima, but for the North American cable industry as a whole. The Tier 1 MSOs are nearing the end of their digital network upgrade programs, and they're preparing for the upcoming shift in network architecture for gigabit access. As expected, this has led to a slowing of demand for some of our legacy products, particularly our Terrace family of products. The situation has been exacerbated by the merger of two of our largest MSO customers. We saw some temporary demand fluctuations for our TC600 and TC600E series in the third quarter. The resulting impact was evident in our third quarter financial performance, which included weaker results from our video and broadband solutions segment. I'm pleased to report that this was partially offset by growth in our telematics segment, where we continue to benefit from last year's acquisition of Contigo Systems. Overall, however, our results were largely as anticipated, and John will provide more details about our financial performance in just a few minutes. Before he does, I want to provide some color on the major transition taking place in the cable industry and look at how Vecima is positioned to capitalize on it. The cable industry's move to distributed access architectures is being described as a once-in-a-lifetime network transformation event. It will enable the cable MSOs to support customer demand for gigabit class internet speeds and IP video across multiple devices. This is essential for the continued competitiveness, but it requires a fundamental shift in network architecture. One of the distinguishing features of a distributed access approach is that instead of centralizing control intelligence at the hub of the network, the new architecture pushes intelligence out to the nodes at the edge. That's key to alleviating the space and power constraints the MSOs are currently experiencing. The Entra platform we're developing accommodates this shift with now three platform variants in the family that reach broadly into the different segments of the addressable market. The first is the Entra MACPHY access node that provides a modular platform for deployment of gigabit speed access technologies. The second is the Entra Remote PHY access node, allowing likewise for distributed gigabit broadband access, following a variation in the distributed architecture desired by a segment of the market. Finally, we're also developing the Entra access switch that extends the capacity of networks with insufficient fibers while minimizing the use of expensive long-haul digital optics. I'm pleased to report that we're making excellent progress on all fronts. During the third quarter, we demonstrated our distributed access node and Entra access switch at the Cable Labs Winter Conference. We have since shipped our first Entra distributed access node for customer lab testing. We've also conducted initial interoperability verification at an industry event. And we expect to have the access switch ready for customer testing this summer. We expect to make quick and further progress on lab and field trials in the coming months, and we'll update shareholders as that occurs. So, we're making excellent strides, and we're keeping pace with our customers' evolving needs in the process. It's important to remember that a technology shift of this magnitude is not a quick or an easy thing for the cable MSOs. Our customers are still refining their technology paths and plans, and they're depending on industry partners that are agile enough to keep pace with their evolving technical requirements. The two new platform Entra expansions I mentioned are an example of this. Both were born of shifts in our customers' needs, and we were able to respond quickly with excellent solutions. This agility is a core Vecima strength, and it's standing us in good stead as the MSOs narrow down who their technology partners will be going forward. Another key strength we offer is our significant experience with distributed processing platforms. The concept of pushing intelligence away from the center of the network and out to the edges is a major shift for the MSOs. The reliability of the distributed technology is going to be paramount for them. The fact is, Vecima already has a strong track record of putting smart boxes at the edge with our Terrace and Terrace QAM products. We've done it with tens of thousands of platforms that have demonstrated excellent field reliability. That's creating added confidence in our ability to provide leading distributed access technologies. Overall, we view our progress and our prospects as very promising with respect to our entry into the market for distributed access solutions. We have an excellent solution. We have clear competitive strengths, and customer feedback has been highly positive. While there are risks and timing uncertainties in any major technology shift, we believe we are well positioned to benefit from the vast global market for distributed access solutions. At the same time that we're making great strides with Entra, we've also moved forward with a number of enhancements to legacy products. During the third quarter, we completed lab trials and customer approval on a Terrace QAM upgrade that adds additional audio transcode functionality to free up further bandwidth. We also near completion of Terrace QAM for hospitality customers outside of North America, with lab trials targeted to begin in Europe soon. These upgrades will help support Terrace QAM sales in the near to medium term. We also completed a software upgrade to our Digital Video Access Platform, or DVAP, that prepares this platform to support distributed access architecture. We have now delivered this to our OEM partner, and we expect it to be rolled out for MSO customer approval testing starting in the fourth quarter. Our telematics division has also released two product upgrades of our fleet management portal during the quarter. This included the addition of PathView, a map-based winter operations module that visually provides updates on how recently roads have been cleared of snow. This upgrade is targeted to the municipal government market and it's already contributed to some contract wins. Overall, it was a highly productive quarter for Vecima in terms of the product development that will help shape our future, both in the near and the longer term. And at this point, I'll ask John to review our third quarter results with you in more detail.
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2017 third quarter that are posted on Vecima's website. I will present the relevant numbers and discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start with consolidated sales. For the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, we achieved sales of $15.7 million. That was 45% lower than the same period last year and 22% below the $20.2 million we achieved in Q2 fiscal 2017. In the Video and Broadband Solutions segment, we generated third quarter sales of $14.3 million, which compares to $28.1 million a year ago and $18.8 million in Q2 fiscal 2017. Third quarter Terrace Family sales of $4.9 million were down 59% year-over-year and 44% on a sequential quarterly basis compared to Q2 of this year. This reflects lower demand for our TC600 and TC600E platforms as customers near the end of their digital network conversions. We also experienced a slowdown in ordering activity related to the merger of two large Tier 1 operators. We expect that slowdown to be temporary as our customer continues to have a strong requirement for those products. Terrace QAM sales of $7.5 million were down 19% year-over-year, but they were up 19% compared to Q2 2017. The lead MSO customer purchased significant quantities of both Terrace QAM platforms and upgrades in the first half of the year. Thus far in the second half, platform sales have been weaker as inventory continues to be drawn down. However, the rollout of our upgrade program has helped to offset this decline, and we expect upgrade sales to remain strong in the fourth quarter with additional support from the new platform enhancement Sumit talked about. Sales of our OEM return path demodulator were just $0.1 million, up from no sales a year ago, but weaker than the $2.4 million generated in Q2 fiscal 2017. Our Q3 sales were lower than anticipated as a customer put a significant project on hold. Overall, we're nearing 100% coverage for this product, and sales going forward are expected to remain lumpy as networks become fully deployed. As we expected, DVAP did not generate sales in the third quarter. However, we made good progress on the software upgrade that Sumit mentioned. And if, as expected, we receive customer acceptance prior to the fiscal year end, we expect to see renewed DVAP sales in the fourth quarter. Turning to our telematics segment, sales in the third quarter increased significantly to $1.4 million from $0.6 million last year. This reflects the positive impact of the Contigo acquisition. Our gross margin for the third quarter was 52%, down from 57% last year, but consistent with the 52% we achieved in Q2 of this year. The year-over-year change in gross margin reflects lower overall sales. It also reflects the impact of a weakening in the U.S. dollar relative to the Canadian dollar year-over-year. R&D expenses were $3.0 million or 19% of sales, compared to $3.1 million or 11% of sales last year. As always, I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the third quarter increased to $5.3 million, or 34% of sales, from $4.2 million, or 15% of sales a year ago. This increase reflects the ramp-up investment to launch new products, including our new Entra platform and related products. It also reflects the addition of R&D expenses related to the new Contigo operations that we did not have in the same period last year. Turning to third quarter sales and marketing expenses, they decreased to $1.4 million from $1.8 million a year ago. This was mostly due to last year's higher allowances for slow-moving FleetLink's finished goods inventory. General and administrative expenses decreased slightly to $2.5 million from $2.6 million in the same period last year. As expected, lower revenue and the impact of increased investment into our business during a transition year resulted in lower third quarter operating income of $1.5 million. This compares to the $8.7 million we generated last year. On a sequential quarterly basis, operating income decreased by $2.7 million compared to Q2. Third quarter adjusted EBITDA was $3.4 million compared to $10.3 million last year, reflecting the lower gross profit and higher operating costs during the current period. In addition, unlike in prior periods, this quarter did not include the contribution of Eurolink EBITDA as it was part of discontinued operations. Looking at net income and total comprehensive income for the third quarter, we generated earnings of $10.4 million, or 46 cents per share, which was up significantly from $6 million, or 27 cents per share in Q3 last year. This primarily reflects the gain on the sale of Eurolink assets we divested during the quarter, partially offset by weaker operating performance. Turning to a balance sheet, we ended the third quarter with cash and short-term investments of $92 million. This includes the partial proceeds from the sale of Eurolink. Finally, cash flow from continuing operations, excluding non-cash working capital, was $3.3 million in the third quarter. Overall, our results were largely consistent with our expectations for fiscal 2017's transition year, and we're moving forward in a very strong financial position. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. As you know, it's been our practice to provide financial guidance as part of our outlook. We have continued with this practice in fiscal 2017, but I want to emphasize that the industry evolution to new network architecture is creating considerable timing uncertainty. We've adjusted our guidance for 2017 to reflect this uncertainty. Our new outlook also assumes that our DVAP upgrade will receive customer acceptance prior to year-end. Based on these assumptions, our guidance anticipates 2017 sales in the range of $70 to $72 million, gross margin in the range of 51 to 54%, and adjusted EBITDA to be in the range of $19.5 to $21.5 million. While these anticipated financial results will not match the record levels we achieved in fiscal 2016, they are in line with expectations for a transition year. Longer term, our outlook for Vecima remains very exciting. We are developing the right technology for the industry change to gigabit class IP-driven networks through Entra and other platforms. We have completed upgrades and enhancements to a number of legacy products that will generate revenue and profit for us in late 2017 and in fiscal 2018. Our telematics business provides a number of growth opportunities, both organically and in terms of M&A opportunities in that segment. And we are exceptionally well positioned to pursue our strategies with a pristine balance sheet and significant assets. These include $92 million in cash, which will rise to over $100.75 million once we add full proceeds from the Eurolink sale, expected before year's end. We're excited about Vecima's future, and we look forward to telling you more about our progress to the balance of 2017. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 on their touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. The first question is from Todd Copeland, CIBC.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, everyone.
Morning,
Todd. Hi, Todd. I had a couple financial questions, and then I want to talk about some Entra questions, but let me just clean up the financial questions if I could. So I just want to understand a run rate operating expense number. And so I guess from a high level, should we use this number until we start to see the Entra sales kick in?
Yeah, I would say, Todd, that Q3 is going to be largely indicative. I think the variable that we may see is we were $5.3 million in R&D expenditure in Q3, of which about $3 million went to the income statement. There may be opportunity in this quarter that 5.3 goes up by a few hundred thousand as we start moving some prototypes and one-time items at this late stage in development. So that one could go up a bit. Most of that would get deferred, but largely I would say the Q3 OPEX is indicative.
So for modeling purposes, model roughly $3 million through the income statement and the rest through through the cash flow statement.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
And then I completely get gross margin is coming off in terms of volumes into the, mid to low 50s. How should we think about gross margin once Entra kicks in? Will it help and bring you back up into the high 50s, or initially is it going to come in at lower gross margins until you get volumes there? Just give us a sense on what's the likely rhythm.
Yeah, Todd, I think that certainly the single biggest factor there is the top line that would get driven by the inclusion of next gen Entra, namely, and that would help to give us the early on backlift to the gross margin. I've talked before that this is still under development in terms of sales model, pricing model for these technologies in this phase of network evolution, the blend between hardware and software, initial capacity and licensed up capacity and things like that we've seen in prior generations and are certainly being looked at in newer generations. So, I think that as the sales come in, that's when we see some uplift to the margins. I think, as I've also talked about before, we're entering potentially a higher volume segment, and that could mean lower numbers to the gross line as the volume really starts to pick up, but not corresponding sale in the OPEX, so certainly very happy spot on the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the takeaway on that in terms of if higher volumes are happening with Entra, is that a gross margin still in the 50s, or is that bring you into the 40s?
I think it's a bit early to call. Some of the volumes that are being talked about for these node deployments are very large over the next 5 to 10 years. That could be in the 40s, or it could even be on the lower end of the 40s.
Okay. I wanted to, just from what you know today, if you could just sort of lay out what you think are sort of key milestones for Entra in 2017 and whatever visibility you have into calendar 2018.
Sure. So we talked about commencing our first Tier 1 lab trial. That was, of course, a key milestone for us. Very exciting to kick that off. Once again, relatively early days, so we're at the front end of some of the expected timings for that type of trial, which can be between 2 to 4 months in the lab, followed by 4 to 8 months in the field trial phase. So we're looking at the progress of that through this calendar year. We're very well engaged across distributed access architecture trials, with all the customers for looking at trials, RFIs, RFPs, etc. So ongoing progress in those activities with other MSOs, Tier 1 MSOs, throughout the course of this calendar year will be very important for us. Industry-wise, things are being communicated as for distributed in any case that, this calendar 17 is where everything's being prepped up, and calendar 18 is where the volume starts to roll. So that's a key milestone to observe going forward from the industry perspective.
And if you were to add up what you see, let's say, in market opportunity for Entra, let's say in the next 3 years, what kind of dollar amount is there for that for that upgrade of the edge of the networks? How many nodes?
Sure.
What's the dollar amount?
Yeah, sure. Let me answer that by taking it back a little bit to the TAM. And you know, we've talked about this before, Todd. That you know, the key market research, the Traxys market, has called the TAM between $1 and $1.5 billion a year, and that'll continue for the next 5 to 10 years, as we see. And we are, of course, with an initial focus on a market segment that represents about 30% of that, being the commercial vertical.
Competitive-wise, like you're going into these lab trials, who are you seeing besides yourselves for this solution?
Competitor-wise, was that talk?
Yeah,
I think that... Again, we've talked about the usual names that are entering this market in this phase. Of course, the incumbent Cisco, Aeris, Casa. We'll have products, Harmonic and Nokia are the other names.
Okay. And have they made a full investment in this this opportunity? Have all those players done that? Like, is that truly a competitive list, or are there some that have actually not participated in this investment cycle?
I think, you know, those are the ones we're aware of, and you know, hearing lots about and their status and whatnot. There are others that I think have made plans, or that we may not necessarily see, may have come in and gone out. I've heard a bit of that as well, but you know, that's the key list right now.
Okay, last question, and then I'll turn over the line. Would you expect contract awards in 2017 or for volume deployment in 2018, or from what you see now, is that awards will happen in 2018?
I think, you know, it's possible towards the tail end of calendar 17, given the aggressive schedule the MSOs that we're aware of that are early adopters are looking at for 18, that we could see contracts start to be a factor later in the year. You know, but it's certainly very, like, you know, high potential that some of that will move into calendar 18 as well.
Okay, that's all I had, gentlemen. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd.
The next question is from David Kwan, PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi, David.
Thanks for taking my questions. I guess following up on Todd's questions on the Entra, can you talk about, I guess you've got MSO that is in the lab trials right now. Can you talk about other MSOs that you're in talks with? If you have any, I guess, other MSOs that have it in lab trials at this point, or, you know, the pipeline as it relates to that?
Sure. I think, David, as far as the number of trials, that's not something I'm ready to or prepared to get into right now beyond confirming that we have the first one. You know, but like I've said, we're certainly very well engaged with several tier ones. And I said before, I think in the last Q2 earnings call, that across the three product variants, we're looking at a trial situation across more than one tier one MSO. So that's kind of all we're stating at the moment. You know, things are coming together and plans are being made. But I want to not talk about more than the first right now.
Okay. And do you still expect to see kind of first commercial sales in Q1 of fiscal 18?
Sorry, say that again there.
You've talked about in the past about expecting kind of first commercial sales in Q1 of fiscal 18. Is that still the case?
I think that the way things have evolved is that we've talked about first commercial sales being small volume sales tied to field trials, and field trials are still, in our view, potential this calendar year, and that's how we would look at first commercial sales. When we're talking about deployment volumes, that's where we start to think of things as late calendar year, more so calendar 18 early.
Okay. And then can you outline, I guess, the relative revenue potential between, I guess, the three products that you have in development right now?
Sure. So I think the way you look at that, the addressable market, that the billion-dollar market with these three products, we've in a way broadened our reach within that overall market. So, comparing and contrast the Mac 5 versus the Remote 5, I think that's something that's going to evolve over time as the market develops. I think this. The MacFi node and the RemoteFi node can both have a significant revenue potential, as well as the access switch, which is in some ways in addressing adjacent markets, which are incremental to that billion-dollar DOCSIS market. And we're seeing several use cases emerging for those, a lot of which are tied to fiber savings, fiber to the commercial premise, and in some ways being related to distributed access, and that it's a very elegant approach using that access switch to take the nodes for DOCSIS deeper in the network. So that's, it's looking like the three products stand alone in terms of each of them having some significant opportunity for us.
Do you think that the switch product in particular has a bigger market opportunity, a kind of broader appeal or broader application versus the MacFi and the RemoteFi?
I think given the size and scale of DOCSIS with the MacFi and RemoteFi, that's a bit much to say that the switch may have more addressable market than those two. We are seeing some nice signs about what the switch may do, in terms of customer reach and use cases. It's very broad, and it's related to what we've done there, which is putting high capacity 10 gig switching in a external enclosure for plant mount and whatnot. And that's something that's very unique, and it's unlocking a lot of use case scenarios for the MSOs.
Okay, thanks. And then moving to the Terrace family, I guess probably the key reason for the weakness this quarter. Have you seen, I guess, any improvement in the order flow, I guess, since the quarter ended here? I think in particular from the two customers you talked about that emerged.
Yeah, I think that some of the impact we saw from the early days of the merger activity in Q3 is looking like it may be behind us and settled out. So I would say that we, as of Q4, thinking about a bit of a rebound in Terrace family sales.
And I think there you've mentioned in the past, I guess there's one tier one MSO that's still in the midst of finishing their digital conversion. Can you put a timeline as to when you expect that to be done?
Yeah, I think the way we're looking at that is they're still going strong. I think there's been some announcements, in fact, that tie to that in some ways. We do think that, the bulk of that activity will be in calendar 17, and then we may start to see the transition to network fill-in that we tend to talk about after the digital conversion phase is concluded.
And I guess just trying to get a sense of the Terrace business, maybe beyond that, so looking at say calendar 18, once these customers have pretty much finished their digital conversions, like how should we be looking at that business? Like, what do you see as kind of the run rate for that business once these customers move to kind of a network fill-in activity, and just really looking at your current customer base?
Yeah, I mean, given the moving pieces, David, I'm not ready to put numbers to it. Into fiscal 18 right now. I think that what we've seen is that, domestically, saturation is going to be more in effect over the next several quarters, and we're starting to see that towards the tail end of the life cycle in the domestic markets. I've talked about broadening into international scope now between Europe and Latin America, CALA, and particularly with the Terrace QAM, in fact, as being the key driver of sales potential there. So that's how we're looking at it.
I know you've talked about the Terrace QAM and having an opportunity to expand internationally there. Is there a similar opportunity for Terrace?
I wouldn't say that we're looking at the international side. You know, if you think about Terrace Quam, comparing the two, contrasting a bit, Terrace, you know, the first generation of that product was released around 2008, 2009. That was a different era in the worldwide situation for digital conversion in terms of flat panel televisions and apartment buildings, hotels, all those different factors that are work in our market. Today, the global opportunity seems, you know, largely tied to a digital offering, and that's a new variant of Terrace Quam, both in the HD and the SD case. But it's looking like, you know, operating the international Terrace Quam in an SD fashion may be the use case that compares or is analogous to what the Terrace analog use case was domestically. So more Terrace Quam driven, but in two types of deployment scenarios.
Okay. But I guess I know you're kind of hesitant to put numbers around it, but, you know, is it something once, like, I guess at least this last Tier 1 MSO finishes their digital conversion, like, could you see it being, you know, at least a, you know, $5 million a quarter type business for Terrace, or could it be potentially below that?
Yeah, dude, I'm not sure. Even by asking it differently, I'm able to answer it any better for you. You know, I think that we are going to see decline in the domestic sales we're talking about. You know, Q4 will be a bit of a rebound. From there, we'll see the ongoing activity at the Tier 1 domestic operator, but kind of reaching its conclusion at the end of the calendar year. Meanwhile, we've got potentially a little bit of a rebound at our lead MSO customer after they finish their inventory drawdown, but that's a modest kind of uptick from that. So a lot of moving parts, and you know, I think towards the second half of fiscal 18, we can expect to see further domestic decline with the current customers and deployments.
Okay. And then on TQ, can you kind of describe the revenue opportunity here as it relates to international markets? You know, just try to get a sense of the magnitude of the opportunity relative to, say, what you've been able to do so far.
Right.
I guess in particular with one customer in North America.
Yeah, it was in particular, you know, a strong lead customer in North America that really, you know, latched on to the hospitality market and captured this opportunity for HD services and hotels as that emerged for the new televisions in those hotels. So that was a great success story for us and for the MSO in the U.S. I think, you know, what's happened globally is that these operators have very much been behind in terms of their status for converting to digital, which tends to be an important catalyst in hospitality for creating solutions for the televisions and hotels. And there's still a lot of analog being carried, and some of those hotels may be being serviced with some of that old analog stuff. So we're starting to see that, you know, there's good opportunity out there in that sense. But, you know, what we have observed in the domestic market is that, you know, one lead customer really got their hands around this opportunity and drove it. Others not so much and weren't able to get their focus the way to capture the opportunity. So that's still something that could be at play globally. We have a good lead customer that's, in fact, a Tier 1 in Europe that we're working towards getting into some trials soon. And, you know, it's a small pocket of their network today, but we feel very optimistic about being able to leverage that out into the broader footprint of that Tier 1 MSO and then on to other MSOs globally. So, you know, in terms of things like hotel counts, things are, if you look globally, it looks like there's a lot of opportunity in that sense. We just looked at that, and, you know, several hundreds of thousands of hotels out there. So, you know, it's a matter of getting connectivity with the right MSOs and their engagement with the business model.
Do you think that the revenue opportunity could be more than what you've done from a North American perspective? I just look back historically that, you know, you've been able to generate upwards of close to $10 million a quarter. Is that something that you could see over time, that the international opportunity could be for TQ?
I think That one's a bit challenging to call right now. Like I just talked about, you know, the domestic lead was really, you know, well engaged on what Terrace Guam did for them in hospitality. You know, if we achieve something like that, we could have some pretty strong results. But you know, on the other hand, we could be more modest if, you know, it's more of a pocket oriented activity. We are also, you know, a different stage in time. Even though I've said your global operators are tend to be behind, it is also almost 8 years hence from when we started with the domestic operator. So that, as we've seen in other product lines, can play an influence in being able to replicate a market.
Okay, last question. I think you kind of talked about it, though. So do you expect for TEQ with this, I guess, international MSO, expect to see lab and field trials in the next couple of quarters here?
Yeah, it's certainly into the lab. You know, we're gunning for that quite heavily today. So working very closely with them. We're just over there. We're going to be over there again shortly. So things are moving forward. There's, of course, the usual technical evolution in the lab testing process that's happening. So yeah, definitely I've talked about roughly in the summer as being a good target for that.
And then potential orders coming in, say calendar 18, or maybe towards the end of this year, calendar year or into calendar 18.
Yeah, if I could bracket it, I would say, you know, as early as the summer or as late as later in the calendar year. So that 6 month window to start seeing those orders flow.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
David.
There are no more questions at this time. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.